A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Raza.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome once again inshallah today we'll be talking about many different aspects of the great imam Mujaddid al-Din al-Millat al-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Before we begin, let us hear some virtues of sending salawat upon the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that when a person offers salawat upon me, there are certain angels known as Malaikatu Sayyahin who roam the earth and they gather salawat and they bring it into my court and they present it. So it's a humble request. Try to send salawat upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah. Once again, we are joined by our special guest, Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Kaleem Al-Madani. Ahlan wa sahlan. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Inshallah, we will listen to his words of wisdom soon, inshallah. Let's start the topic, inshallah. In regards to Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi and his passion for inquiring Islamic knowledge. You see, he Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi devoted his entire life to acquiring and propagating Islamic knowledge. He Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi did not spend a single moment uselessly. He Rahmatullahi Alayhi had started this blessed journey of acquiring Islamic knowledge since his childhood because he Rahmatullahi Alayhi was from a pure religious and scholarly family. His respectable father and grandfather were also practicing Islamic scholars. The state of Ala Hazrat's yearning for Islamic knowledge in his childhood was that he rahmatullahi alayhi would go himself to study without being asked by anyone. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wanted to go on Friday as well, but he did not because his honorable father forbade him. He rahmatullahi alayhi understood that Friday is a very important day of the week. Therefore, one should not study on a Friday, the remaining 6 days are for study. Subhanallah. You know, this is initially for the students of Jamiatul Madina who are studying the Dars-e-Nizami course. This would be especially for them that whenever we are in Jamiatul Madina, whether we are residential or whether we are at home, when we are studying the curriculum and we are preparing our asbaq, our lessons, yes, prepare your lessons as well. But with the side of that, we should also study other books as well, not just Darsi books. We are there to study Darsi books, but to addition to that, we should also study other Islamic literature as well, so we can have a much understanding, much better understanding of the Islamic knowledge. Inshallah, we will move to our Honorable Ustad Sahib. Ustad Sahib, what would you say in regards to seeking Islamic knowledge?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's a very beautiful topic, of course. Knowledge is very important and highly ranked in Islam. In fact, when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his efforts, the main thing that we find is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always encouraged his Sahaba to learn, always encouraged his Sahaba to study the Quran, the Hadith, because he was their muallim, he taught them, and he highly valued those people who gave time for deen. We know in Madinatul Munawwara, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, you had students who were solely devoted to seeking knowledge. So when you go to Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, today you will even find that raised platform where the Ashab al-Suffa would sit, would study. They were waqf, they were their full time for seeking of knowledge. So they had a great passion, alhamdulillah. And Allah Ta'ala praises knowledge in the Quran, praises ulama in the Quran as well, and the hadith literature mentions the blessings of scholars, the value of seeking knowledge as well. Now, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl-Sunnat Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma was no different in this regard, in that knowledge was everything to him. He understood the value of knowledge, the importance of knowledge. And you know, like how in the dunya people become so engaged in something that they don't look at anything else. Ala Hazrat was like that when it came to seeking knowledge of Quran and Hadith and knowledge of Islam as well. And Allah blessed him as well. You know, people like that who show that passion for knowledge, Allah blesses them to go on to do such works of deen that are unique to them. I mean, Allah gives them all that they desire in this regard to make the journey of seeking knowledge easy as well. One thing we can all agree upon is, if someone wants to become a scholar or a mufti, one thing that is indispensable and very important is having a strong memory. We know that. Because if someone's reading, but he's not remembering what he's actually learned, what he's studied, then that knowledge becomes an alpha for him, a trial for him. So it's famously said, afatul ilmi an-nisyan. The trial of knowledge, the affliction of knowledge, is that a person forgets that knowledge. So he's putting the time and effort in, but he's forgetting it. You can imagine it from an example. If somebody is trying to fill a vessel which has a hole in it, and he's trying to fill that vessel with milk, you can place the entire world's milk supply into that vessel. It will never fill. Why? Because there's a hole in it. So similarly here, when you're seeking knowledge, if you're seeking it only to forget it, then that's a big trial, that's a big affliction. So the blessing of knowledge is in retaining that knowledge, remembering that knowledge. And Ala Hazrat Subhanallah, when we study his seerah, we know that he had a photographic memory, a phenomenal memory. Allah blessed him with a very powerful memory as well. And in Hayati Ala Hazrat, which is the source for his seerah, it's a very famous book in four volumes, I believe. The Khalifa of Ala Hazrat, Maulana Mufti Zafruddin Bihari Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he narrates. He says that once Ala Hazrat was staying, his honorable friend, the Muhaddith of the time, Wasi Ahmad Surti's house. That was in Pilibhit, a different part of India. One day they were conversing, Kalam was taking place, dialogue, discourse, and a particular fiqh book was mentioned. You know Allah Hazrat's love for fiqh and masail and rulings, and he found out that Muhaddis Wasi Ahmad Surti has that book in his library. So Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, he said, can I have a look at the book? Can I see the book? Can I even take the book, borrow it? So Muhaddis Wasi Ahmad Surti Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he brought the book. But then he also said to Allah Hazrat that, look, you have so many fiqh books at home. I have a limited number of fiqh books. So whenever I answer questions, the books that I have in front of me are very limited. So please make sure that you give it to me back as well. And Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma agreed. He said, okay. So on the same day, Ala Hazrat was scheduled to return to Bareilly Sharif. Now he's got the book in hand. He was supposed to return to Bareilly Sharif. But what happened was, a well-wisher, a devotee said, Huzoor, stay for another day. I would like to host you. So Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma agreed. He stayed the night again. And in the morning, he was scheduled to go. And the book, he handed it back, surprisingly. Said, you don't need the book? Said, because of this delay in my departure, I managed to study the book at night and in the morning as well. And now that I have studied this book, bihamdillah ta'ala, for 2 to 3 months, I will remember the exact lines that I need from my fatawa from this book, meaning minno an, as they say, word by word. And as for the contents of the book and the mazameen, the topics and the overview of the book, I will remember that for the rest of my life. Meaning, this is how strong his memory was. This is how strong his hafidah was. It's a big blessing. It's a big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I remember right from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we had great lovers of the Prophet alayhi sallam who wanted to study hadith. And the famous waqiyah of Sayyidina Abu Huraira comes to mind. He would spend a lot of time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day he complained, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I spend time with you, I hear your ahadith, but I end up forgetting them. So what's the solution? How can I ensure that I retain what I hear from you? And the Prophet alayhi wa sallam knew about the sincerity of this ashiq of his and wanted to bless him. And this is an answer to all those people as well who say the Prophet alayhi wa sallam can't give you anything. The Prophet ﷺ can't bless you, only Allah Ta'ala can give you. We have this aqeedah that Allah Ta'ala is the giver, but the Prophet ﷺ is the distributor. The blessings of Allah arrive, but they come through the court of the Prophet ﷺ. So when Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu complained about this issue, the memory, the Prophet ﷺ said, spread out your shawl. So he spread out his shawl. And the words of the haditha, the Prophet ﷺ took what seemed like empty heaps of something, like nothing in his hand. It seems like there's nothing in his hand. But Allah and His Rasul know best what was in his hands. And he places that into the cloak. And then he says to Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that close the cloak. He says, after that day, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I remembered it word for word.
SubhanAllah.
Those hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, I remembered all of it. So what we learn from the hadith is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a strong memory, in fact. So what seemed like invisible heaps of something was actually hafiza, quwwat hafiza, as they say. So this is a big blessing that people have wanted from the beginning, especially students of knowledge. And I'm sure, inshallah, you can also touch upon what you can do to strengthen your memory as well. Because not everybody is blessed with that level that Allah has had. So we have to work for it.
Inshallah, definitely, subhanAllah, beautiful words. You see, we're talking about inquiring knowledge. There's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has stated, "Man kharaja fi talab al-ilmi, fa huwa fi sabilillahi hatta yarji'a."
Subhanallah.
That whoever exits in seeking knowledge, therefore he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in the way of Allah until he returns.
Subhanallah.
There's another narration that whoever treads the path of knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the path towards Jannah easy for him. There are many virtues and many ahadith in regards to inquiring knowledge and attaining knowledge. You see, Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was a great and perfect example of the one who would inquire knowledge, and the way he would attain that knowledge and the way he preserved that knowledge. You know, as our blessed Ustaz Sahib has mentioned, you know, I was also a student as well, and it was very difficult to remember many subjects as well, like Gardans, etc. You know, and then, you know, remembering many, many rules, so then you can apply them to the ibarat, etc. You see, Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, his hafizah, subhanallah, was next level. You know, as our Ustaz has mentioned, the waqi'ah of the book that he borrowed, and then the next day he returned it. You see, there's another story in regards to the strength of the memory of Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah, that when my teacher, from who I learned from the beginning of the book, would teach me a lesson, I would close the book after seeing it once or twice. When he asked me to tell him that lesson, I would tell him word for word.
Yeah.
Having observed the situation every day, he would be amazed. And one day he asked me, he said, Ahmed Mia, are you a human or a jinn?
Allah.
I take some time to teach, but you do not take time to memorize it. Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied, all praise be to Allah. I am a human, however, I have been blessed with the favor and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, there are many ways of having, you know, strong memory. You know, Hujjatul Islam, Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said that if you repent immediately of a sin that a person has committed, if you repent immediately, then it is hoped that very soon the disease of committing sins will be terminated from your heart, and you will get rid of the burden of evil influence of sins. Sins, committing sins, is an actual factor of a person's memory being very weak. And as human beings, we make mistakes. You know, we make mistakes. We're forgetful. We commit sins. But if we take this advice of Hujjatul Islam, Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that if you commit a sin and we repent straight away, then it is hoped that that sin will fade away from our heart. We will never commit that sin. However, that does not give a leeway, before anybody takes it the wrong way, that does not give a leeway to anyone that they will commit a sin and then they will do tawbah immediately after that. No. First and utmost thing that we have to do is that we have to refrain from sins in the first place. But as human beings, we are forgetful. If we end up committing a sin, we are to do tawbah and istighfar straight away from it. So this is initially not just for Jamiatul Madinah students. We have college students, university students. You know, we've got many other students who have to give exams. You know, there are certain methods. What are the methods so that a person can acquire a strong memory? There are a few things that I'll mention, inshallah. Try to take note of it, especially for the views of Madin channel. So what are they? Number one is abandoning sins is the best way to make the memory strong. Number two, avoiding haram sustenance is also a cause of making the memory strong. Whatever Islamic knowledge we acquire, we should practice upon it. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making your memory strong. You can say, "Oh my Lord, your humble bondsman is present before you. Oh Allah, I want to acquire knowledge of your deen, but my memory does not help me. Oh our Lord, who has the power over everything, make my memory strong by your perfect power and grant salvation upon me from the disease of forgetfulness." This is another method, you know, doing dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you a strong memory. Always, this is another method, always try to be in the state of wudu. One of the advantages of being in the state of wudu is that we will be able to attain the wealth of self-confidence and get rid of inferiority complex along with acting upon the sunnah. Another one is sleep also plays its role in making the memory strong. Now, this is another major disease in our young society today, that sleeping very late, scrolling on social media, you know, till 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning, and then when they have to wake up for college, university, jamia classes at 7:45 in the morning, at 8 o'clock in the morning, they're nowhere to be seen. Why? Because they've been scrolling on the phones all night, that they are unable to wake up, and this is also a factor of your memory becoming weak. So sleeping also plays a big part in a person's memory being, you know, strong as well, especially in the days of exams. Instead of my advice to anybody would be, instead of revising the entire night, revise the entire day, but sleep on time during the night. Why? Because so then when you go into the exam hall, your mind is fresh, you are awake and active, and at that time, whatever knowledge you acquired before will be already, it will be saved in the back of your mind. So sleeping plays a big part. And if there's another one, if you are thankful for the blessing of a strong memory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant barakah in it. Thus a person's weak memory will become strong, and the person who already has a good memory, his good memory will become even more stronger. So these were a few, you know, methods of how to make a person's memory strong. You know, I would say that inquiring knowledge, it's not only for Jamiatul Madina, many other students are out there as well. Try to adapt these habits into your lifestyle. If you do have a weak memory, by the will of Allah, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, you will end up having a very strong memory. Moving on forward, you see, the way Imam Ahl Sunnat, his love of knowledge was, subhanallah, the amount of books that he wrote, just his, you know, volumes of Fatawa Radawiyya, which we discussed in our previous segment, you know, 30 volumes. You know, this is what you call a scholar of the time. You know, his demand was so much that even the Arab scholars, you see, Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat, he was from India. But the Arab scholars, even they had demand for him, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. See, the personality of Ala Hazrat, the leader of the Ahl Sunnah, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he was a shining role model for us. You see, he, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, provided the Muslim Ummah with Islamic knowledge, even in a state of extreme pains, due to his great love for Islamic knowledge and for the passion of its propagation. You know, the Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat, if it wasn't for him, then today we don't know what our state would be. The amount of knowledge that he passed on down to us through his books, the amount of sciences that he, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, has already perfected, you know, the science of Nahav, the science of Sarf, the science of Balagha, you know, the science of Tajweed, even mathematics, you know, the normal science, biography, chemistry, physics, you know, and this is a karama. You see, this is a miracle of Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, that he did not go to any school, he did not go to any university, he didn't go to any college, but yet he, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, was blessed with all of this knowledge. You know, he was a master of it. You know, as far as I can recall, at a very young age, he wrote a commentary and one of the most difficult Nahf books. You know, he had so many sciences, ilm al-balagha, you know, the science of rhetoric, the science of mantiq, logic in itself, the science of hadith, the science of fiqh. You know, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was a master of every single science. And this is why his personality, and because of his knowledge, his demand, even in the Arab scholars, was so high. You see, it has been stated that when he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, went to the sacred Arabia for the second time for Hajj, when he reached Jeddah via a ship, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, suffered from a fever. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, spent 3 days in Jeddah with this high fever. So then he, rahmatullahi alayhi, recovered to some extent in the days of Hajj. But after performing Hajj, he, rahmatullahi alayhi, again suffered from a fever. In such circumstances, the foremost Islamic scholar of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the former Qadi, the judge of Makkah, Mawlana Salih Kamal, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, asked Ala Hazrat some questions about the ilm al-ghayb of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. And we know that Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah has an entire book just on the knowledge of the unseen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah Bil-Madatil Ghaybiyyah. You know, he's written an entire book just in regards to the unseen knowledge of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when this Qadi of Makkah asked this question to Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, his answer was, and he said that he wanted the answers to these questions, despite being ill, being a traveler and very tired due to traveling for Hajj and performing the different Hajj rites as well as many other activities, as Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi alayhi said, bring an ink pot and a pen. Maulana Kamal and other great Islamic scholars of Makkah said, we do not want such a short answer. The answer should be comprehensive so that the denier of the unseen of knowledge can be defeated. It was decided that the book was to be completed within 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then handed over to the Islamic scholars of Makkah on Thursday. So Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah, subhanallah, said, trusting the favor or kindness of Allah Azza wa Jal and the help of the Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I promise to fulfill this responsibility. The very next day, the fever returned. He, rahmatullah alayhi, started writing the booklet whilst having fever. And Hamid Raza Khan, rahmatullah alayhi, wrote it in a neat and clean handwriting. In the meantime, besides other engagements, many renowned scholars also came to meet him. He, rahmatullah alayhi, had a scholarly discussion with them. Despite taking breaks for salah, engagement related to physical needs and other activities, he, rahmatullahi alayhi, completed the book within those 2 days. The book was delivered to Mawlana Salih Kamal, rahmatullahi alayhi, on Thursday morning. It then became famous throughout the city of Al-Makkatul Mukarramah.
Subhanallah.
This was a story where the Arab scholars, that when Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah, rahmatullahi alayhi, traveled to the lands of Al-Makkatul Mukarramah, and the scholars of Arabia, they demanded for answers in regards to the unseen knowledge, ilmul ghayb, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And despite being in the state of illness, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, compiled a booklet is within 2 days, which was a Tuesday and a Wednesday, and then on the Thursday, that book was delivered to the scholars of Arabia. Subhanallah. This is the love of knowledge that Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi had for Islamic knowledge. And subhanallah, and no doubt his work, even today, which is present nowadays, it's a miracle in itself. The amount of sciences that he perfected, the amount of booklets that he wrote, the amount of questions that he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, answered. Subhanallah, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, is a perfect role model for any talibul ilm, for any student of knowledge, anybody who wants to have a role model in regards to seeking knowledge. My advice would be, read the seerah of Imam Ahl Sunnat, Mujaddiduddin wa Millat Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. We'd like to move to our Ustaz Sahab. Ustaz Sahab, what would you say in regards to this?
Subhanallah, you mentioned beautifully how Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was high in demand, we would say. The people of his time, not only the laymen, the public, the scholars of his time, they relied upon him. So when he went to Haramain Sharifain for the second Hajj, as you mentioned the full waqiyah, He was extremely ill. And during that time, he also had visitors. It's not the case that he was given a room and nobody's going to disturb you. And even then, it would have been hard for many in 2 days to produce a book like that. But in between the writing, he had guests, scholars that he would meet, and they would come to visit him, take blessings from him. He had this severe fever. So it was in intervals. So stop, start, you could say. It wasn't full, like in one go. And this is why some ulama, they've done tahqeeq, and they said it took approximately 8 hours to write that book. If you look at the writing period, it was about 8 hours. When you read the book, you're completely, you know, astonished. You think, eight hours to write this book? It might take me 8 hours to read it, and I don't know how much I'll understand from it. You know, it was full of technical abhas, discussions that are specific to ulama, mantiqi discussions, logic-based discussions. But subhanAllah, he beautifully and emphatically proved this aqeedah that the Prophet ﷺ has knowledge of the unseen. But when you look at his works, I would say all his works are like that. They're groundbreaking works. They're works that smash heresy and they smash deviancy and bad aqeedagi, as we say. When it came to seeking help from the awliya Allah, he wrote Barakatul Imdad. When it comes to, for example, speaking about the lofty rank of the Prophet ﷺ and him being the best of creation, the leader of all prophets, he wrote Tajallil Yaqeen, Bi Anna Nabiyana Sayyidul Mursaleen. These are masterpiece works in and of themselves. They're unique. When it comes to speaking about the blessed family of the Prophet ﷺ, no stone is left unturned. Allah has rights and rights and rights regarding the blessed family and how this nisbah that a Sayyid has with the Prophet ﷺ will most definitely benefit in the Akhirah as well. Because you had people saying, just because they're from the family of the Prophet ﷺ, it doesn't mean to say they're any special, na'udhu billah. So Allah says proves that they are special. Doesn't mean to say they've got a license to do what they like in the dunya. In fact, those who are from a Sayyid background have more of a responsibility because their grandfather, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the role model for all. So they have a greater responsibility to follow in his blessed footsteps. So the knowledge of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahmah was very vast, very unique. And we have an account of how his knowledge wasn't limited to knowledge of deen, even though deen encompasses all types of knowledges, if we're honest. But Allah Hazrat Ali Rahmah, he had a passion for seeking maths, mathematics. And he says, I learned subtraction, addition, multiplication, division. Why? Because these rules of maths are needed for ilmul mirath.
Subhanallah.
But then he began studying beyond that. His father said, leave it. You will learn all this from the core of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is how much yaqeen they had, that if you're mukhlis to the cause, Allah Ta'ala, through his Prophet alayhi wasallam, will give you knowledge of other things as well. So in terms of mathematics, Allah Hazrat was blessed with this science as well to a very high degree from the core of the Prophet alayhi wasallam. These were prophetic bounties upon him. And we have a beautiful example of how a mathematician of his time, the Vice Chancellor of Aligarh University. Now, Aligarh University is a very prominent university in those days. It's one of the leading universities. But this mathematician, he was struggling with a particular mathematical equation. And he was finding it hard to solve it. And in fact, he had made the intention to travel to Germany, all the way to Germany, from India to Germany, to somehow solve this mathematical equation, which was troubling him. But somebody who was working at the same university, Maulana Sayyid Suleiman Ashraf, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was the Islamic studies teacher in Aligarh University. He was acquainted with Allah Hazrat. He knew about the genius of Allah Hazrat. And he said to him, I think before you even embark on this long journey all the way to Germany, pay a trip to Bareilly. Now this mathematician, he probably thought, what is he advising me? He's sending me to a Maulvi sahab, sending me to a Maulana, and I need to solve a mathematical equation. He said, just go. He's very knowledgeable. Okay, I'll go. So he ended up going there, and he met Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, and he expressed his problem. And he also said that it's not something that I can mention so easily. So he was trying to say to Allah Hazrat that, I don't know if you'll even understand it, or I don't know what your level is. Allah Hazrat said, go ahead, mention it. So he mentioned the problem, the mathematical equation. Ahmad Sahab, straight away, without any hesitation. You know, this account, it doesn't mention that Allah has took out a piece of paper or a book and he said, let me just try and work something out. On the spot, Allah has produced such a masterpiece answer, brilliant answer, that he solved the equation.
Subhanallah.
Now this person who had come was a mathematician. He spent all his life studying maths. That's his bread and butter. He doesn't know anything else. But he's come to, in his eyes, a Maulvi sahab. And Mulana sahab happens to be the Mujaddid of the time, mashallah. And it's his luck, it's his good fortune. So when he sees how Allah has beautifully answered it, he became so impressed. So impressed that it's mentioned that after that day, he became a pakka namazi. He started offering his salah punctually 5 times. And he also grew his beard as well. Because he was so impressed. He was like, up until now, I thought, you know, these people only teach you like dini masle, which is, to be fair, dini masle is everything.
Yes.
It's just nowadays our priorities are so changed and so different that we don't give that ahmiya or significance. But he was so impressed that this problem that was giving me so much headache, so much concern, Mawlana Sahib was close to Allah, close to the Prophet alayhi salam, in that he's resolved my problem. I don't even have to go to Germany. And he grew in respect and ihtiram for Allah Hazrat from that day. So Allah Hazrat was not just a genius in dini knowledge, but in dunyavi knowledge. The scholars say that he mastered about 50 different sciences.
Subhanallah.
Not only dini sciences, dunyavi sciences as well. So this is a testament to the legacy of Allah Hazrat, the legacy of Raza, that his ilmi qabiliyat was unmatched. And we would even say, Amir al-Sunnat, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri says that since that time, no scholar has arrived in the dunya who is on a par, on a level with Allah Hazrat as well. So we owe a lot to him. As you said, we're indebted to him. Alhamdulillah, he saved the aqaid of millions and millions of people in the Asian subcontinent as well. So may Allah Ta'ala shower his endless mercy upon
Allah. Ameen. Subhanallah. Beautiful words of wisdom. Subhanallah. Just a few words left to conclude in today's program. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. You know, today's topic was in regards to acquiring knowledge. Now for the viewers of Madani channel, maybe not every single viewer is a student of knowledge of Jamiatul Madina. But even for the viewers, general viewers of Madani channel, see, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that seeking knowledge is obligatory, is fard upon every single Muslim. Now, in regards to this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this refers to basic knowledge to such an extent so a person can remain amongst the Ahlul Sunnah. So, for example, the knowledge in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sifat, the knowledge in regards to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This type of knowledge is a must for every single Muslim. And then again, this program for today, the topic for today, was in regards to such a legacy, was in regards to such a personality, that this was to show you the amount of knowledge that this personality held. Now for us, I know it's very difficult. We can't even reach, you know, towards the minimum level of say the Imam Ahlul Sunnah, you know, is very difficult for us. But the most that we can do is that at least learn the basics, the faraid. You know, when we reach the age of bulughat and we know that salah has become fard upon us, now we have to learn the faraid of salah. When we, you know, when fasting in the month of Ramadan, now we need to learn the actions that break the fast, the actions that don't break the fast in Ramadan. So we need to learn about that. The rulings in regards to zakat. When zakat becomes fard upon us, we need to learn the rulings of zakat. When hajj becomes fard upon us, we need to learn the rulings of hajj. And likewise, when many things become fard upon us, we need to learn those rulings. And it's a must. Remember, dear viewers of Madani channel, on the day of judgment, when we are questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be able to use this excuse that I had no time. This excuse will not be valid in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there are many masajid out there, even our own very Fazana Madinas, who are holding many, many courses. You know, we have the education department courses, we have the, you know, basic knowledge courses where people learn how to do wudu, where people learn how to perform ghusl, where people learn how to do tadfeen, takfeen of a deceased person, how to give ghusl to a deceased person. You know, maybe me saying these things, you maybe think, oh, he's only talking about something normal. But dear viewers of Madani Channel, it's actually shocking that many people out there, they might think that this is something so small and something so basic and simple. But if you were to ask them the most simplest of question, they will be unable to answer it. So this is why, dear viewers of Madani Channel, today's topic was in regards to inquiring knowledge and the amount of love and passion that Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the amount of passion he had for inquiring knowledge. So we should take a lesson from this today, that at least we should learn the basics of our own religion. You know, our religion, we as Muslims, we should learn about our religion, so then we may be able to attain salvation on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every single one of us ilmun nafi'. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to act upon whatever has been said and pass it on to others. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Raza.